There's a man and his wife in the service tonight whom I have known longer than, and he's known me longer than anybody in this building except my wife. That's Brother Garland Cofield over here and his wife Reba. We've been friends for 45, almost 46 years. We went to school together in 1947, the second year of the Tennessee Temple College in Chattanooga. We went down there together, 47, 48, 49, 50. We were friends then, we're still friends after all these years. He led the singing for Brother Ralph Barnard in several meetings, big tent meetings down in Mississippi and Alabama. He's a man of many talents, preacher, musician, missionary, writer. He came to our church in Ashland in 1952, and we had a meeting. You and I sang a duet one service. I don't know whether you remember that or not. 40 years ago. He led the singing. Roy Mason, Tampa, Florida, did the preaching. Wasn't much preaching in the meeting, but there's a lot of good singing. Right? That's true. That's true. He couldn't preach. And Garland pastored up in Holland, Michigan. I think I visited him there one time. And then he and his wife and children went to Canada. Dunorick, Ontario, Canada. What year did you go up there? 50?
Early
60s. Early 60s, and pioneered. They put a tent on the side of a lake. The country of Canada deeded some land over to them if they'd occupy it and build on it, and he built a missionary work there to the Indian Nation, has a school and preaching the gospel, and I went up there and visited with him one time. He's a dear man. And I appreciate him being here tonight. I hope you'll get acquainted with him, Brother Garland Cofield. Now I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of John, chapter 8. The pastor said to me, forget the time, nobody's going anywhere. So I'll try to do that and just preach the message that God has laid on my heart. This sermon is called Preaching for a Verdict. Preaching for a Verdict. The story's been told. The evidence has been presented. It's time for a verdict. The judge says, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict? And they said, we have. We have. He said, well, let's have it. Our friend Brother Barnard used to say, we need to preach for a verdict. We need to demand that people spit on their hands and roll up their sleeves and stand up and be counted. Stand up and be counted. I was reading Thomas Bradbury today, and he made this statement in his little book. He said, a living child, if it is a living child, will announce its birth. Yeah, he will, won't he? If he's alive, he'll let you know it. And a living tree bears fruit. Christ said, if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And Mr. Bradbury says, grace applied is grace manifested. And grace in the heart will produce grace in the hand. That's true. I believe it. When the mad Gadarene met the Lord Jesus, something happened. There was a verdict, wasn't there? Something happened. When he met the Lord Jesus, now he'd met a lot of those religious townspeople. But when he met the Master, something happened. Oh, I wish God would enable me to preach so that something would happen. I thought when Jim was talking tonight, Brother Jim Bird was talking about that meeting back yonder in 73. I didn't plan that. He didn't plan it. God planned it. And it certainly wasn't I. And it wasn't he. It was him. But it was the message that hit the bullseye. It wasn't me. I don't know where the bullseye is. I've shot in a direction before preaching and nothing happened. Something happened over here. I was aiming over there. You ever done that? I preached to my children. Bless their hearts. They come in the service and I preach to them. God save somebody else. But when that old mad Gadarene met the Lord Jesus, he was subdued. The wild man in him was subdued by the only one who can subdue a wild man. And he was sane in his right mind. Everybody who's out of Christ is insane. Did you know that? Brother Mann, you ought not call people insane. If they don't love Christ, they're insane. That's right. If they don't believe God, they're fools. The fool has said in his heart, "No God for me." That man was sane. That man was clothed. And in his right mind. And sitting at the feet of Christ. Wouldn't that be something if somebody here chained in bondage to sin should be set free tonight? I tell you, I always pray for that and ask God for it and anticipate it and want to expect it, but it doesn't always happen. Just sometimes, though. Just sometimes. I remember one meeting we had here several years ago, and Scott and I got through preaching. The man in the back said, "I've heard enough." You remember that? "I've heard enough." He came down here and said, "The Lord saved me." Wouldn't that be something? The Lord had saved somebody tonight, set them free from the chains and bondage of sin and from the cave. This man, this Gadarene, was dwelling in a cave, in the darkness of a cave. And our Lord brought him into the light. He was mistreating himself, cutting himself with stones, you know. Couldn't be subdued. Wow, man. But my Lord Jesus just touched. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened. Something wonderful happened. He touched me and made me whole. I pray tonight he'll do that, set somebody free. Let's look at the text here in John 8. John 8, verse 32. Listen to what it says. And ye, John 8, 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 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 You know, we're familiar with that scripture. Nearly everybody here has heard it or read it many, many times. You've heard messages from this scripture. I've preached from it a lot of times. But do you know when our Lord spake these words and to whom? When we read something in the Word, we ought to consider who's speaking, to whom he's speaking, and what's the subject. And our Lord spake these words in the temple. That's where these words were spoken. That's right. Look back here at verse 20. In verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. The Lord Jesus spoke these words in the most hallowed religious place on earth, in the temple. That's where he was, in the temple. He was standing speaking to people, the Jews, the religious Jews, in the temple, in that hallowed, sacred, holy place, the temple. They weren't there shooting craps. It was in the temple. They were there sacrificing. They were there worshiping. He spoke these words to people who revered Moses. They revered Moses. They revered the Scriptures. He said, you search the Scriptures. He didn't tell them to search the Scriptures. He said, you do search the Scriptures. These men revered Moses. These men defended the law. They wore their phylacteries broad, didn't they? They were lawmen. Lawmen. They brought him a woman one time taken in the act of adultery, and they said, God, Moses' law says stone her. What's your verdict? They were men who defended the law. They were men who studied the Scriptures. They were men who believed in election. Did you know that? Yeah, they did. They believed they were elected. The Jewish people, they didn't believe a Gentile had a snowball's chance. They didn't. They believed in election. They were men who thought they knew the truth. Those were the ones to whom he spake these words, men who thought they knew the truth. And here he says to them, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It'll make you free. Free. You see, the truth is not a form of worship. A fellow wrote an article on me one time, a strong landmark Baptist preacher who edited a strong landmark Baptist paper. And he wrote an article on entitled, What About Mayhem? That was interesting. Headlines. And in that article, he said, Mayhem preaches the gospel, but he's not sound in the faith. And I thought, how can a man preach the gospel and not be sound in the faith? But he went on to say that I wasn't sound on the church. Church truth, you see, that's more important to some people than Christ, who is the truth. You see, truth is not a form of worship. Truth is not a system of doctrine. I hear people say, well, I came to the doctrines of grace. I'd rather you come to Christ. You know, the way we talk sometimes, another fellow says, well, I came to faith in Christ. You don't come to faith in Christ. You come to Christ in faith. You come to Christ. Truth is not a system of doctrine. Truth is not a form of worship. Truth is not a law of morality and behavior. Truth is a person. It's a person. And to know this person is to know the truth. And not to know this person is not to know the truth. I don't care what you know. You can know truths and not know the truth. You can have wisdom and not have God's wisdom. Christ is God's wisdom. You can have a form of wisdom, isn't that true? Somebody put those satellites out there in space. I don't have that kind of smarts, do you? We'd still be having square wheels if it's left up to me. Fella said two Irishmen invented the wheelbarrow, you know, or an Irishman and an Englishman said the Englishman put a wheel on his and the Irishman still pushing his, you know. That's amazing. You see, the truth is a person. To believe this person is to believe the truth. That's right. To walk with this person is to walk in truth. There's a key word here in this 8th chapter. There's a key word used over and over again. You take your pen or pencil and mark these places I'm going to give to you right now. This is the key word. It's the key word in this whole message. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. The key words, I am. I am. Look down here in verse 23. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am. Underscore it. From above, I am. You're of this world. I am not of this world. Look at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am. He's in italics, isn't it? I am. I am. I am. Where'd that come from? Well, over here in the book of Exodus, hold that place there and turn to Exodus. The Lord had appeared to Moses, Exodus chapter 3. The Lord had appeared to Moses at the burning bush, the bush that burned and was not consumed. And he's going to send Moses down there in Egypt to deliver the people. And Moses said to the Lord in Exodus 3, verse 13, look at it, Exodus 3, 13. Moses said unto God, now when I come, and when I come unto the children of Israel, and I say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they say to me, what's his name? What's his name? This God of our fathers, this God who sent you. He says, what shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, this overwhelms me. I sort of hate to read scriptures like this aloud. I just rather read them under my breath, you know. And God said, I am that I am. Can you just imagine that? As his voice spoke to Moses, I am. I am that I am. He said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent you. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, when they came into the garden to arrest him, and he said, whom seek ye? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, what? I am. What'd they do? They fell backward. It's overcome, overwhelmed. The same one in that garden who said, I am, is the one who spoke out of that bush and said to Moses, I am. Same one. I am. He uses, Arthur Pink said there's seven great I ams in the book of John. I am the light. Without Christ, it's all darkness. I'm the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I'm the door. There's one door in this building. That's right there. Everybody that came in here tonight came through that door. And everybody that goes out is going to go through that door. That's the only door here. And that's Christ. Only door into the access into this grace, access into the presence of my God is Christ. I am the door. You say, well, I'll go through the window. He said, you're a thief and a robber. Yeah. I am the bread. I am the water. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. I am. If you're going to know God, you're going to have to know God in Christ. Now, let's look at our text, verse 23. And he said to them, these men in the temple, these religious fellows, these men who felt they knew the truth, he said to them in verse 23, you're from beneath. You're from beneath. You're of this world. Everything about you is from beneath. Everything of you, in you, and about you is of the world. I am from above. I am not of this world. Now, my friends, every one of you, listen to me. Young people, you listen carefully. This is very important. I'm preaching for a verdict. If you are looking for truth, understanding concerning God, salvation, heaven, eternal life, anything spiritual, if you're looking for truth, don't look for it on this earth or from any person on this earth. That's right. You can get to let God be true and every man a liar. Every one of us. Every one of us. You see, you can get the best minds of this world together. I mean the best minds. And while they know some things that are true about their world, and they know some things that are true about their earth, they know absolutely nothing about God. Did you know that? Not by nature. Absolutely. Somebody said, well, I tell you what I think. It doesn't do any good to tell me what you think. Because your thoughts are not his thoughts. And as the heaven is high above the earth, so are his thoughts above your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. That's just so. You see, our sins have separated us from our God. No man has seen God at any time. Derek Garrett Shepherd preached a message one time on God dwells in no man's land. No man's land. No man has seen God at any time, save the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man has seen God. No man knows God. No man can come to me, Christ said, except my Father draw him. And he dwells in a light to which no man can approach. Turn with me to Job 11. Job chapter 11. Listen to this carefully. Job chapter 11, verse 7. Can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? Can you? And we've got to find him out to perfection. We've got, like Jim said, you can't have a half a Savior. It's high as the heavens. What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. This knowledge of God. You're from beneath. You're of the earth. If we're going to learn anything about God, it's going to have to come from above. Listen to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. Listen to this. Romans 11, verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depths. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. I just tremble sometimes when I hear these television preachers talking about God. It just makes my flesh crawl. Their familiarity with God. Their great understanding of God. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. And his ways past finding out. Just past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Do you? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we only know in part. We who prophesy and preach only preach in part. We only see through a glass dimly. Who hath been his counselor? Well, back to the text, John 8. You're from beneath. Christ said, I am from above. You're of this earth. All of your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is of the earth. And the heavens and earth, one day as we know them, will pass away. And all this so-called knowledge with it. All right, verse 24. Now listen to this. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am. Because truth is only from God. Because truth is only from above. Then I said, therefore, unto you, if you do not believe that I am God, I am He, I am from above, you're going to die in your earthly blindness. You're going to stay in it, religious or otherwise, tradition or otherwise. And that's where you're going to die. And you're going to die in your ignorance, and you're going to die in your sins. For there'll be no other voice, and there'll be no other witness, except I am. That's just so. Try Hebrews 1. Turn over there with me just a moment. Hebrews chapter 1. Listen to the Apostle Paul here. Paul, I believe, wrote Hebrews, or whomever. But he said here in Hebrews 1, now listen to it, God, verse 1, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by whom? All right, here's seven things. What? By His Son. His Son. I and the Father are one. His Son. Read on. Two, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. He has spoken to us by His Son, who's the heir of all things. Three, by whom He made the worlds. By whom He made the worlds. Number four, who's the brightness of His glory. The glory of God is only seen in the face of Christ Jesus. Nowhere else. Number five, He's the exact image of His person. They said, show us the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was with God, and He dwelt among us, and the Word was God, and we beheld His glory. I am. He's the exact image of His person. God was in Christ. Thy throne, O God, is forever. Read on, number five. And He, this one by whom He speaks, upholdeth all things by the word of His power. In Him we live and move and have our being. By Him all things consist and are held together. Not a star moves tonight, except as our Lord Jesus moves it. He's Lord of heaven and earth. He sat down. I told Don before I preached tonight, I said, He's sitting. When a person sits, he's finished his work. You don't sit till you get through. And a person who sits is not upset. He's not concerned how things are going to turn out. He's resting. He knows how it's going to turn out. When you're upset and troubled and your kids are out after 11 o'clock, you're not sitting, you're walking. You go to the window and look out, you know, and the door and look out. But when they're home, go upstairs and go to bed, you sit. My Lord's seated. Watch it. Number six, when He had by Himself purged our sins. He did it alone. He did it by Himself. He did it by the sacrifice of Himself. He purged them. He put them away. Sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's who I am, He said. If you don't believe that, if you don't believe that I am, you'll die in your ignorance, you'll die in your blindness, and you'll die in your sin. I am. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 18. Moses is writing here. He said, Moses wrote of me. They said, we have Moses. He said, you'd believe Moses, you'd believe me. He wrote of me. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, listen to this. God said in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 18, I'll raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses. I'll put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. You're going to hear from God. You're going to hear from Him. Don't leave that. Stay there. You're from beneath. You're of this earth. I'm not of this earth. And nothing here is going to help you one bit. I'm from above. I am. And if you don't believe that I am, and you don't hear me, and you won't listen to me, you don't bow to me, you don't receive what I have to say, you're going to die in your sin. That's a promise. Listen to him, the next verse. And it'll come to pass that whosoever, I love that word too, and Todd used it last night, whosoever will, let him take the water of life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a good whosoever. But this is another whosoever here. Look at it. Whosoever will not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I'm going to require it of him. I'm going to require it of him. And I know we're going to give an account of stealing the watermelon and all that, but that's not what's going to stand against us. I'll tell you what's going to stand against us is we have despised his son and refused to hear him. Now go back to my text. Verse 24, he said, I said therefore unto you, you'll die in your sins. If you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. And these folks looked at him. That upset them. They were filled with fear and frustration and doubt. And they said, listen, in verse 25, they said, who are you? Who are you? Here stands a man in human flesh. They said, we know his father, Joseph. We know his mother, Mary. We know his brothers and sisters, Judy and Josiah, the others. We know he came from Nazareth. He's a man. And he says, I am. Who are you? Oh, I tell you, that great is the mystery of godliness. Who is he? Great is the mystery of godliness. He's a man, but he's no ordinary man. He's the God-man. As much, as Scott said the other night, as much God as if he'd never become a man. And I don't understand this, but as much man as if he'd never been God. I don't know how to explain that. I just know it's so. His trials were real. His tears were real. His temptations were real. His obedience was real. His submission was real. His love was real. His death was real. His blood was real. His death and burial were real. Resurrection's real. And he's God. He said, who are you? Well, the angel who told Joseph about his birth said, don't you be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that holy thing, there's another name for it. Never been heard of before or since. That holy thing, which shall be born of her, is the Son of God. The Son of God born of a woman. The Son of God made of a woman. The Son of God made under the law. The Son of God walking on this earth. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God made himself of no reputation. Everybody who was anybody turned thumbs down on him. Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Who are you? Have you ever had that question answered? Who are you? A lot of people got different ideas about who he is. He said to the disciples, whom do men say that I, Son of Man, am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're one of the prophets. But who is he? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't learn that in school. You didn't even learn that at your mama's knee. She might have tried to tell you, but you couldn't learn it. God's the only one that can open the ear and open the eye and open the heart. My Father revealed that to you. Blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear. Who are you? Who are you? And listen to what he says. He said, there's been no change. There's been no change. Even the same that I said to you in the beginning. What did he say in the beginning? Verse 12, I'm the light of the world. I am the light. I'm the light. Young people, he's the light. I am the door. I am the bread of life. If you knew the gift of God, you said, you'd ask me and I'd give it to you. That's who I am. I am. Same as from the beginning. But now watch it. He goes on. But he says, I've got some other things to say that will judge you. That's what that means. I've got some things to say about you that will judge you. He said, I know you. I know you. One time he said, you don't have the love of God in you, not by nature. You seek not the honor that comes from God. You will not come to me that you might have life. I know you. He said, I got a lot of things to say that'll judge you. Let another come in his own name, him you will receive. I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. A man walked up to me the other night and he said, why is it that God tells us you're going to die? It's appointed unto me and wants to die. After that, the judgment. And we say, uh-huh. And we get up from our seat and go out and get in our car and go home. And God says again, you're going to die. You're going to die. And if you die, if you don't believe I am he, you're dying your sins. And we say, that's right, and we go home. And then we get a pain. And we go to the doctor. A human being now. The only thing that distinguishes him is that thing on the wall that says he's an MD. And we go sit down in his office, and he takes some thing, sticks in his ear, and sticks on your heart, and listens and says, mm-mm. That always bothers you, and says, mm-mm, doesn't it? And he looks at you and says, you're going to die. And you go all to pieces. God told you that 4,000 times. It didn't bother you, did it? But a man told you, you're of this earth. That's your problem. You're of the world. We don't listen to him. Isn't that sad? We don't listen to him. We don't listen to God. We'll listen to any Tom, Dick, or Harry that comes along. We won't listen to God. And he said, I got a lot of things to say about you. You won't hear me. I come in my Father's name, and you won't hear me. Let another jackleg come in his name, saying what he thinks, and people follow him like a Pied Piper. Thousands of them follow him. And the more wild and ridiculous his religious traditions are, the more followers he can get. Isn't that something? It's amazing. It's amazing. Oh, I've got some things to say about you, he said. They'll judge you. But I can tell you this. He that sent me is truth. He's truth. My Father sent me. And I speak to this world those things that I heard of him. That's what I'm telling you. I'm speaking the things I got from him. They didn't understand that he spake to them of the Father. And then he said this. Listen to this. He said in verse 28, I'll tell you this, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, what's this lifting up business? What is it? Crucifixion. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's born crucified. He came into this world for that cause and that purpose. He was a surety of that everlasting covenant. He said, for this cause came I to this hour. He said, when you've lifted me up, listen, then shall you know that I am. Then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. His crucifixion, his resurrection, his exaltation was accompanied and followed by such manifestations of divine truth and glory that many people were convinced that he indeed is the Messiah. That centurion said, surely this man was the Son of God. And you've lifted up the Son of Man. What does he mean by that? Well, his death And his resurrection fulfilled every promise of the Old Testament scriptures. His death and resurrection fulfilled every pattern, every picture, every type in the Old Testament scriptures of the Redeemer. He's the Lamb, Passover Lamb. He's Abel's sacrifice. He's the ram who took Isaac's place. Let me show you a scripture over in Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. Listen to this. You take the Old Testament, as I have done, and make a study of it. Christ in the Old Testament. Just start with the promise that the Father gave the woman's seed will bruise the serpent's head. Abel's sacrifice. The ark. Or the Passover lamb. And take all the rock that was smitten. The high priest, the atonement, the sacrifices, all of these. You take all of these and study them, and they're all pictures of Christ. And when he came, he fulfilled every one of these types and pictures. And listen to this. Verse Acts 13, 27. Listen. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, they didn't recognize. Who are you, they said. They didn't know who he was. Nor yet the voices of the prophets that are read every Sabbath day. They fulfill all of these pictures and patterns in condemning him. The Old Testament said they'd spit in his face, and they did. They'd pluck out his beard, and they did. They'd sell him for 30 pieces of silver, and they did. They'd cause false witnesses against him, and they did. They'd pierce his hands and feet, and they did. They'd laugh while he died, and they did. Everything was fulfilled. They fulfilled them in condemning him. Listen. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they'd fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. We're through with him now. No, but God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Oh, I tell you, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know. Do you know? Can you see him in all these pictures? Christ, our Passover. Christ, our smitten rock. Christ, our lamb slain. Christ, our turtle dove. All of these Old Testament scriptures are fulfilled in Christ's birth and life and death. They all speak of him. To him give all the prophets witness. Can you see it? I am he. I am. That's the issue. Who is he? Isn't that the issue, Don? I know people got raising a lot of issues, you know, about all these different things, you know, and the issue is, who is Jesus Christ? What did he do? Why did he do it? Where is he now? I am. He created this world. Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ is God. It's not three gods. It's one God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But it's one God. God's Spirit. And the only revelation of God is Jesus Christ. Only one you'll ever see, only one you'll ever hear from is Jesus Christ. Is that right? That's right. If you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins, he said. Now, but here's the wonderful thing in verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, brethren, let me tell you something. The power of the Word. Oh, the power of the Word. This is what makes preaching so vital, so necessary, so important. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not entertainment, preaching. Not socializing, preaching. The preaching of the Word, the reading of the Word, the teaching of the Word. He says, of his own will begat he us through the Word. Isn't that right? The word is the seed. The sower went forth to sow, and he sowed. The sower is the Son of Man, and the seed's the word. And as he sowed the seed, God made it live, and it lived. The word is the seed. He says we're born again, not of corruptible semen, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. This is power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Lee Robinson used that all the time. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. It is the power of God. I'm not the power of God. You're not. The soul winner's not. The word is. This is about Christ. Preach Christ. Don't preach about him. Preach him. Don't come to faith in Christ. Come to Christ in faith. Look to him. I am. You believe that? I am the one who made this world. The one who hurled it into space. The one that keeps it where it is. The one that put everything where it is. The one that gave me life. The one that called me by his grace. The one that came down here in human flesh and died on that cross. Is I am. There is no other. From eternity to eternity, he said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'd like to say that to people. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This is dynamite. That's that word, dunamis, dynamite. It's the power, the dynamite of God in salvation. Word of God. This is the word of God. This gives life. If anybody gets life, it'll come through the preaching of Christ. It won't come through the preaching of Armageddon. It'll come through the preaching of Christ. It won't come through the preaching of church truth. It'll come through the preaching of Christ. It won't come through quartet singing either. No, it won't. It won't do it. It's the preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel. We relegated that which is most important to the scrap heap, the preaching of the gospel in this generation. And verse 30 said, as he spake these words, some of these very people actually believed them. But I'll tell you, here's one that does. I know there's plenty. I feel like Paul at Thessalonica, brethren. I know your election of God. I know your election. Our gospel didn't come to you in word only. It came to you in power, in much assurance. And you became followers of us in the Lord. And from you sounded out the word. And you waiting for his son from heaven. Oh, my goodness. I believe these words. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Are you telling the truth, preacher? Under God, I'm telling the truth. Under God, I'm telling the truth. This is the only truth. Christ is the truth. He that believeth on the Son hath life. H-A-T-H, that spells got it. That's right. The word gives life. The word of life, it's called. And then he said to those Jews that believed on him, now watch this. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You're really my disciples. Barnard used to say he's well saved. He didn't just make a profession, he's well saved. Well saved. If you continue in my word is not a condition, it's evidence. Isn't that right? There's no condition. Christ didn't say, now if you'll do this, I'll do that. No, he does it and you do. And you do. I know this. True faith, true love for Christ will throb in a man's pulse. That's right. It'll throb in his pulse. True faith looks out of his eyes. Man or woman who knows Christ got a different expression, different countenance. I'm telling you the truth. I can't explain that. But I just know if Christ is in you, he's going to stick out somewhere. You just got a different look out of your eyes. True faith lights up a man or woman's countenance. True faith softens their touch. Yeah, it does. It softens their touch. Doctrine won't. Doctrine will make him mean as a snake. Doctrine without Christ Saul of Tarsus had doctrine without Christ. He's mean as the devil. But when Christ saved him, it softened his touch. He didn't go down there to Damascus to kill people. He went down there to caress them. It mellows his voice. True faith bows his head. It knocked the starch right out of him. True faith. That's right. God not only says I'm nothing, I know I'm nothing. He'd do that to you. I hear people say, well, I don't want to brag on a preacher, give him, make him proud. Not if he's a true preacher. You couldn't make him proud. He knows too much about himself, doesn't he? True faith will bend your knee. Christians ought to pray. They do. They do. All of them. Christians ought to love God. They do. Christians ought to love each other. They do. Christians ought to give. They will. True faith opens a man's hands. It curbs his tongue. It humbles his heart. It directs his walk. It gives him a hearing ear and a forgiving spirit and a peace of conscience because it set him free. That's right. That's what he says there. And he said, this being so, you'll know the truth. And he'll make you free. Pray. You know, Martin Luther King, you say, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. You can say that if you know the truth about this gospel. Know Christ the truth. It sets you free. Set you free. You say, well, don't listen to those old Jews. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We never been in bondage to anybody. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Oh, really now? Really? Never in bondage? What about that curse of the law hanging over your head? Huh? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Free. Free from the curse. What about that condemnation that says the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die? Huh? What about that? Are you free from that? You are in Christ. There's therefore in Christ no condemnation. What about these religious traditions and forms you were brought up in? They hang on, don't they? Oh, boy. These religious traditions and forms. Still those old shackles, aren't they? Well, what about Sunday? What about Sabbath? What about all these? What about the tithe? You know, what about my 10%? What about all these traditions? We've been hammered through the years. Touch not, taste not, handle not. You've been set free from them? In Christ you are. That's right, in Christ. I'm not under law. I'm under the love of Christ. Really, actually, in reality. I'm free from all that. He has made me accepted in the beloved. What about legalism and self-righteousness? You have a problem with self-righteousness? John Owen said on his deathbed that gave him a fit. You remember reading that? What? Pride. Self-righteousness. You free from it totally? Yeah, you can be if you look to Christ. Free from it. What about worry and doubt and fear? What about the judgment? Oh, he told these fellows, he said in verse 34, I say unto you, verily I say unto you, he whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. I am. I am. You believe that? You believe he is? That's the whole story. You'll know that truth, that person, and you'll be free. And all these shackles and bondage and worry and fear and curse and condemnation, traditions and self-righteousness and all this stuff is gone forever. And we have, like Jim Dockery says, the consolation of Christ. The comfort of Christ. All right. ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what's your verdict? What's your verdict? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I do believe. Let's stand and sing this hymn. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will.